You're listening to an encore edition of The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Most of us are living through a pandemic for the first time. Our lives have been upended, and all of us are feeling a lot of uncertainty and fear about what's to come, not to mention how long these social distancing measures will last. But as the stay-at-home order continues and regular life remains on pause, some people are fortunate to have a little extra time to focus on hobbies at home. Our next guest says, in some ways, now is the perfect time to invest in our passion projects, or maybe just find one. Elizabeth Segrin is a staff writer at Fast Company. She's also the author of The Rocket Years, How Your 20s Launched the Rest of Your Life, which has a whole chapter devoted to hobbies and interviews with hobby scholars. I spoke with Elizabeth in early April, just a few weeks after the stay-at-home order began. Elizabeth Segrin, welcome to The 21st.
Thank you so much for having me.
So there may be some people who say, look, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I've got a lot of worries right now. Even if I'm staying at home more, picking up a hobby right now seems, I don't know, sort of frivolous maybe. But I understand you spoke with some researchers who say that hobbies are actually good for us.
Yeah, as I was working on this book, I discovered that a lot of people spend their 20s focused on things like their careers and their relationships, which are really important things. But actually, there's a lot of research that suggests that focusing on our passion projects and our hobbies is actually very important for our lifelong physical and mental health. I spoke to a lot of researchers who did a lot of research about this. They're actually, if you believe it or not, they're actually hobbies researchers out there. And what they found is that hobbies are actually really important for maintaining happiness throughout your life. They're really good for improving your productivity. And they're actually also very good for ensuring that you can stave off things like memory loss and Alzheimer's. And so really, while we tend to think of our hobbies as frivolous and things that we might neglect to spend time on, they actually have a much more important impact on our life than we might imagine.
I got to pause on this. Hobbies scholars or hobbies researchers. I'm really questioning my life choices right now. What is that?
I know, me too. Well, I think that, there are a lot of people who think about what hobbies really are. And hobbies are actually much more profound than we give them credit for. Hobbies are actually important because they're connected to our passions, right? And most of us spend our lives investing in our work, which is something that many of us are passionate about, in our families. But hobbies are actually a third realm of passion in our lives. And for many of us, we pick hobbies that are aligned with our identities. And so when we pursue our hobbies, we're actually connecting to a really important part of who we are. And a lot of people report feeling most themselves when they're pursuing a hobby. So there are plenty of psychologists and sociologists who actually study this, because the impact on hobbies on our lives is actually more profound than you might imagine.
So where do these hobby researchers work? Are these sort of tenured university positions, or do they like...
Yeah, there are sociologists who have devoted their entire careers to hobbies, and historians who have studied what hobbies are. And actually, that's a really fascinating thing. And that's because, you know, hobbies only really emerged in the Victorian era, when we had more time on our hands to invest in these things. You know, until that point, only very wealthy people had time to spend on things outside of their work. And, you know, in the Victorian era, people began to have a little bit more time to invest in these other parts of their lives. And in the modern era, we now have more time to spend on these things that that actually nurture, ourselves. And it's a difficult time that we're all in right now, and a lot of us are stuck at home with a lot of extra time on our hands. But perhaps we can see this time as an opportunity to invest in some of these things that make us happy and that make us feel more productive and make us feel more like ourselves in this time when the world seems upside down.
So what is the difference between a hobby and a relaxing activity, right? Is my, going through the entire back catalog of Star Trek Voyager, is that a hobby?
Yeah, it's interesting. So there are many definitions of hobbies, but they generally center on these two qualities. A hobby is something that you are very passionate about, but a hobby is also something that involves some level of skill. And in fact, when you think about hobbies, one person's hobby might actually be another person's job. You know, you think about hobbies like, for instance, playing an instrument or photography or flower arranging. Something that you might pursue as a hobby might actually be something that somebody else does for a living. So they involve a skill of some kind. And it's actually that skill which makes the hobby an interesting thing. It allows us to engage our minds and keep pursuing and challenging ourselves to pick up these skills throughout our life. And that's actually part of the reason why hobbies are so engaging. And actually, on that point, the fact that you have to keep learning new skills to keep pursuing this hobby over time is precisely why hobbies are recommended as a really important way to stave off all kinds of memory loss and other issues that might come with age, because engaging your brain and forcing yourself to sort of pick up new skills and deepen your skills over time is actually really, really good for your brain's health.
So why is now, this time when many of us are under these stay-at-home orders, why is now a good time to focus on trying to pick up a hobby?
So I would make the argument that we're in this very odd time, but this period actually has a couple of characteristics. One is that a lot of us have extra time on our hands, and it's time that many of us, myself included, we're filling with a lot of nervous energy. I don't know about you, but I'm spending a lot of time, you know, not doing a lot of the things I used to do before. But not really using that time very productively. I'm scanning the news a lot and feeling very anxious. And so I think that hobbies could be a way to help deal with this anxiety, because hobbies really force you to take your focus away from whatever it is that you're doing and spend a little bit of time in a very concentrated way on something that you enjoy, right? You pick a hobby because it's connected to something that is part of who you are and that makes you happy. And so giving yourself the opportunity to focus your mind on something else, and that something that makes you you feel happy, I think is a very good thing to do with your time right now.
And it structures your time, right? Gives a little order to your life.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about this, that, you know, we've been in this period of self-isolation for some time now. And for me anyway, I'm beginning to feel like all the days are blending together. And I think that it can be very useful to create some structure and order in our day. Many of us are working from home, and that makes a lot of sense. But perhaps spending a little bit of time every day at the same time, pursuing a hobby, getting better at it, you know, learning a new chord progression on your guitar, learning a new stitch, whatever it is that you're doing, spending a little bit of time on that will allow you to carve out time during the day and also maybe, you know, make you feel a little happier.
I have this fantasy. I don't know if you remember the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, where he, you know, by some accounts, spends thousands of years reliving Groundhog Day and becomes a master piano player and all this stuff. And I guess that's kind of the goal here.
Not bad, Mr. Connors. You say this is your first lesson?
Yes, but my father was a piano mover, so.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel right now. It's kind of the same day as repeating itself every day. But if we can become master piano players, or, you know, expert knitters, or, you know, amazing gardeners, you know, all the better, right?
Yeah. So you said in researching your book chapter for the Rocket Years on hobbies, you found that they're actually a way for us to connect with our identity. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the book, I spent a lot of time thinking about the big decisions that we make in our 20s. And our 20s are really this period in our life when we're writing our own origin stories about who we are and what we want from life. And in that period, what we're really doing is we're picking out and we're understanding what our major passions in life are. And those passions can involve the things that we do for work, the relationships that we have with other people. But our hobbies are also part of that, because there are so many things that we enjoy doing that we can't get out of those other facets of our life. And so that's largely what hobbies are. And doing a hobby allows you to sort of feel like yourself. And what's really awesome about hobbies is that you don't actually have to be that good at them. There are lots of things that you might enjoy doing that you're not particularly good at. And while in your career, it really helps for you to be an expert in that field and talented in that field, there are lots of things that you could do as a hobby that don't require you to be the very best. And I think that that's actually a really wonderful thing. So let me tell you a little bit about my hobbies. I'm now knitting. I've picked up knitting, and I will tell you, I am a terrible knitter. I'm also trying to do a bit more baking, and I would say like my cookies are not that great, but I really enjoy doing that, and it makes me really feel happy, and it makes me feel like I'm doing something that is an expression of who I am. And I think that is a really fulfilling thing. And I hadn't had an opportunity to really invest in these things before, but it's really helping me sort of feel a little bit more like myself at a time when nothing in my life feels normal.
So I know your book is focused on the 20 people in their 20s, but for those of us in the 30 and older set, I hope it's not too late. And if not, how do you recommend we go about finding a hobby?
Oh, it's absolutely not too late at all. And actually, I think that what's really important is that the reason that a lot of us pick up our hobbies in our 20s is because, you know, our brain chemistry hasn't sort of solidified yet. And therefore, it's a lot easier for us to pick up hobbies when we're younger because our brains just pick up new skills faster. But actually, as we get older, it's actually a little bit, it takes a little bit more time sometimes for us to pick up a new hobby, but that's precisely why it's important for us to be doing that, because that process of learning something new is actually really, really good for our brain. And so what I would say is that based on the research that I did for my book, what I've learned is that as we get older, it might feel like it's taking us a little bit longer to pick up on things that might have been easier when we were younger. And so sometimes it's good for us to be patient with ourselves in that process, because it's easy to become frustrated. But it's even more worthwhile to do it then, because your brain is actually, it's actually sort of preserving itself in that process. And it's actually staving off a lot of, diseases like Alzheimer's that we're wary of.
So one of your bucket list items, I understand, was learning to make your grandmother's chicken curry. And we've only got about a minute left, but how's that going?
It's not going so well.
Sorry to hear that.
My mother actually taught it to my husband because she just wanted to make sure that at least one of us would figure it out. But I'm... I
feel like that's a whole like therapy session right there.
No, that's we'll save that for another day. But you know what? Just going through the process of trying to learn that day by day is giving me something really valuable to do. And hopefully I'll figure it out and one day be able to pass it on to my daughter.
Elizabeth Segrin is a staff writer at Fast Company. She's also the author of The Rocket Years, How Your 20s Launched the Rest of Your Life, which has a whole chapter devoted to hobbies and interviews with hobby scholars. I originally spoke with her back in April. That's all the time we have for today and for this week. You can stay up to date with us on Twitter. Just look for us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. We tweet out links with more analysis and background about what we've been talking about. Our Facebook page, search for The 21st to like us. You can comment on what we're working on or post questions or comments you want us to ask on air. All of those links and every other way to contact us, if you want to leave us a voicemail, send us an email, or follow us on social media, just go to our website, 21stshow.org. We've got all our past shows there. You can also find us most places you can get your podcasts. We're on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts and NPR One. Just search for The 21st. Our program is produced by Libby Foster and Anna Casey. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Brian Mackey. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.